and whose pride was offended by the notion that their rituals were useless, and who were content with an outward but not an inward righteousness, and therefore refused to repent of their sin, these people hated Jesus. They hated him because Jesus spoke with an undeniable authority about both the will of God and the true nature of their hearts, which they worked so hard to disguise. Jesus exposed their perceived righteousness as fraudulent and stated unequivocally that he was the only hope of salvation. Open your Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 5, in verse 18. John 5, in verse 18, the Bible says, "For this reason, therefore, the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because he was not only breaking the Sabbath, but also was calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God." The beginning of the Gospel of John, chapter 1 and verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shined in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. He was in the world, and the world came through him, but the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become a child of God, even to those who believe in his name. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten of God who is in the bosom of the Father, the only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him," John 1 says. If you go to the very end of the Gospel of John, chapter 20 and verse 31, John, the disciple, says, "These have been written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." And then in the end of the Bible, 1 John chapter 5, the same apostle writes in John 5 verse 11, "And the testimony is this, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And we know that the Son of God has come, so that we might have an understanding of him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life." If Jesus is not God, then God cannot be known. Because the Scripture says, "No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him." If Jesus is not God, then God cannot be known. As a matter of fact, we said last week, if Jesus is not God, then God does not exist. John chapter 5, verse 18 says that Jesus was making himself equal with God. There was a book written back in the 1970s called Lord, Liar, or Lunatic. Was Jesus who he really says that he is? The Lord. And the word Lord is the Old Testament word Yahweh or Jehovah, the name for God. Jesus is either who he says he is, God, or he is a liar. But before you accuse Jesus of lying, I want you to know the Gospel of John chapter 8, verse 46 says that when Jesus stood with a great crowd of people, he asked them this question, "Which of you convicts me of sin?" And he was met with silence. Jesus was not a liar. Or was he a lunatic, this book asks? Was he crazy? Well, the Bible says in Luke chapter 2 and verse 47 that when Jesus was 12 years old, he was in the temple with a bunch of the scholars of the Jewish religion. And the Bible says in Luke 2 verse 47, "And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers." This is not a person who is insane. Now, John chapter 5 and verse 19 to verse 30, Jesus is going to share three evidences that he is in fact God, that he is divine. John chapter 5 and verse 19 says, "Therefore Jesus answered and was saying to them, truly, truly, I say to you," and that expression truly, truly means this is truthfully the truth. This is the absolute truth. "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of Himself unless it is something He sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows Him all things that He Himself is doing. And the Father will show Him greater works than these, so that you will marvel." First thing Jesus says, and this is not an evidence, but this is a statement, "Truly, truly, I and my Father are one." That's the truth. In other words, Jesus is not independent of God the Father. They are united. And then he's going to give in verse 21 his first evidence, verse 22 the second evidence, and verse 23 the third evidence. Evidence number one in verse 21. "For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son also gives life to whom He wishes." Here's the first evidence that Jesus is God. He has the same power that the Father has. Jesus is omnipotent over death, just like the Father is. The Father can raise the dead and give them life. Even so, the Son can do the same thing. And if you don't believe Jesus, in John chapter 5, this audience who is there, they just saw Him take a man who for 38 years was paralyzed and heal him like that. To this crowd, if you don't believe Him, look back at what you just saw. Jesus has the same power as the Father. Evidence number one, verse 22. "For not even the Father judges anyone, but He has given all judgment to the Son." The second evidence that Jesus is God is this: He has the same authority as the Father. He has the same power as the Father over death, and He has the same authority as the Father to execute judgment. And now look at verse 23. "So that all will honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent Him." The third evidence that Jesus is God is this: He has the same honor as God the Father. He has the same power as God the Father, the same authority as God the Father, and the same honor as God the Father. In other words, to reject or dishonor God the Son is to reject or dishonor God the Father. "Truly, truly," Jesus says to them and to me and you, the absolute truth is this: I and the Father are one. Now look at the next "truly, truly," verse 24. "Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear..." Excuse me, I went into verse 25. Verse 24. "Truly, truly, I say to you, as he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. and does not come into judgment, but is passed out of death into life. The second truly, truly is this. Truly, truly, first, I and the Father are one. Verse 24 says, truly, truly, the one who believes in me as God and Savior has eternal life. That's the fact. If you hear my word, the word that I am the Savior, and you believe Him who sent me, God, you have eternal life. And you do not come into judgment, but you have passed right now out of death into life. If you have come to believe in Jesus' word and that He is God, you have passed, Jesus said, out of the status of death into the status of life. That's who you are today. What does that tell us? Those who remain, those who do not believe that Jesus is Savior and God, remain in the status of death. They remain in the place of judgment. The Bible says in John chapter 3 and verse 18, he who believes in Him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. John chapter 3 and verse 36 says, he who believes in the Son has eternal life. He who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him now. A person who does not come to a place of understanding and belief that Jesus, you are the God, you are God and you are the Savior, this person is in a state now of judgment. The Bible says, Jesus said, my second absolute fact to you is not only am I God, not only do I have the same power and authority and honor as God, but also everyone who believes my word that I am the Savior and that I am God has eternal life and has passed out of death into life. But if not, you remain in this place of judgment. And what is this judgment? If you go to the very end of the Bible, the book of Revelation, the Bible says this judgment will be this way. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 11, then I saw a great white throne and Him who sat on it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and there was no place found for them, all these people. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And they were judged by the things that were written in the books according to their deeds. And the sea gave up the dead which was in it. And death and Hades, death where your body goes in the grave, and Hades where the spirit goes when a human being dies. The body and the spirit gave up the place that held both of these places, gave up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every one of them, according to their deeds. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. The Bible says in Revelation 21, verse 8, but for the cowardly, those who are fearful to come to faith in Jesus, to believe in Him as God and Savior, for what it might mean, perhaps, to their family or friends, they're cowardly. And the unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars, their part will be in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You know, the Bible makes a promise in the Old Testament, be sure your sin will find you out. There is going to be a judgment, and the Bible says at this judgment, you'll be judged according to your deeds. Everyone for whom Jesus is not your Savior. You see, there are many people who say, you know what, what are they trusting in to get them to heaven? They're trusting in their deeds to get them to heaven, their own righteousness. And it's those very deeds by which they are going to be judged. And again, the Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. There are people in this city, up and down these streets, who have committed sins that no one knows about and they think they've gotten away from it scot-free. Or maybe they paid off people some money. Or they know enough right people and they've gotten away with it. Be sure your sin will find you out. The Bible says, Jesus said one time in Matthew chapter 12, but I say to you that every careless word that people speak, there will be an accounting for it at the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Every time a person gets off and with their friends sitting at a little quiet dinner table and gossips and slanders, or lies, or under their breath in a day of anger, mutters off a profanity against God, gets on Facebook and rips some person, the Scripture says, every careless word you'll give an account for in the day of judgment. And the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 5, the sins of some men are quite evident, going before them to judgment. There are some people, their sins are very obvious, everybody knows them now, and those sins are preceding them, and it's obvious what they're going to be judged for. But for others, their sins follow after. The Bible says, for Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and has passed out of death into life. But if you have not, you remain in this place. And if you die in this place, the Bible says you will face the judgment for which every single one of your deeds you will give an account for. This is why the Bible says it is absolutely foolish for any human being to strive to reject Jesus and to think somehow they're going to be righteous before God in this position. The Bible says in the book of Galatians chapter 3, for as many as are of the works of the law, those who say, you know what, I'm going to go to heaven on the basis of my righteousness or my rituals or my religion. The Bible says as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all the things written in the book of the law to perform them. Then Galatians says, now that the law is not one does not become righteous before God by the law is evident, for the righteous man shall live by his faith. Now that the law is not of faith, but rather is contrary, is clear because Galatians 3 says, he who practices them shall live by them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of a law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is every man who hangs on a tree. Jesus redeemed you from the curse of a law. So the Bible says, nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified, made righteous by the works of a law, but by the faith in Christ Jesus, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ Jesus, since no one is justified by the works of a law. So Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who hears my word and believes in him who has sent me has eternal life and is passed out of death into life. As someone said, all who believe the Father, who really believe the Father, accept Christ. It is not possible to believe what the Father says and to turn away from the Son. And this is why it is false for any religious person to say, oh, I believe in God. As one faith calls him Allah, but I reject Jesus. Jesus and the Father are one. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word, Jesus said, I'm telling you the truth, and believes on him who sent me has eternal life and is passed out of death into life. Someone has said, this little poem, still as of old, man by himself is priced. For 30 pieces, Judas sold himself, not Christ. You price yourself. Then look at verse 25. The third, truly, truly. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. There's three truly trulys in these verses. Truly, truly, I and the Father are one. Truly, truly, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and is passed out of death into life. And the third truly, truly is this. The dead will live by the power of Jesus' word. They will live. Now, that could be referring to the fact that Jesus, when he was on earth, had the power to raise the dead. You're going to read later on in the Gospel of John, he raised a man named Lazarus from the dead. But it seems even more likely that what the Scripture is talking about is Jesus' power to raise those who are spiritually dead. I want you to just save your place in John chapter 5, and I want to go back to the third largest book of prophecy in the Old Testament. It's the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 37. So if you go back to the Old Testament, you might have to go to the table of contents. But Ezekiel chapter 37. And I want us to read an example of how dead can a person be that God can raise. Well, I want to give you an example of how dead a person could possibly be. Ezekiel chapter 37 and verse 1 says, and this is the prophet Ezekiel, and he's going to tell us about a vision that God gave him, a dream. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley, and it was full of bones. He caused me to pass among them round about, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and lo, they were very dry. So the Ezekiel says, God's Spirit brings me out to this valley, and when I look in this valley, all I see is bones. And not only are they bones, there's dry bones. They're dry. He said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again he said to me, prophesy over these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, that you may come to life. I will put sinews on you, make flesh grow back on you, cover you with skin, and put breath in you, that you may come alive, and you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a rattling. And the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, sinews or muscles were on them, and flesh grew, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may come to life. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they came to life and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. So this guy says, man, I can't believe this is exactly what happened. There was this huge valley of bones, and they're dry bones. There's no chance. And God says to me, you tell them that God says, come to life. And before my very eyes, these bones began to rise and attach themselves, and muscles came over them, and flesh came over those muscles, and breath came into them, and they all stood up, an exceeding large army. Verse 11 says, then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say our bones are dried up, and our hope has perished. We are completely cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and cause you to come out of your graves, my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. Then you will know that I am the Lord. When I have opened your graves and caused you to come out of your graves, my people, I will put my Spirit within you and you will come to life. And I will place you on your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and done it, declares the Lord. How dead can a person be that God can give life to? That dead. The Bible says in the New Testament in Titus chapter 3, for we ourselves also were once foolish, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our lives in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. That was us. But when the kindness of God our Savior and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy, by the washing of regeneration, by the new life, and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior. God can breathe new life. Jesus will breathe new life into people who are enslaved. They're not going to get away from these lusts and these pleasures. Who are disobedient, deceived, spending their life in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. And in these people, Jesus says, live. That's what Jesus says. And so a person says, man, you don't know my life. I have been enslaved all my life. What you mentioned earlier, Oki. Enslaved to alcohol all my life. I've been enslaved to drugs all my life. I have been so bitter for years because of what happened to me as a child, and my life is spent with hate. Can Jesus breathe life into someone like me? Well, listen to what He tells you. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. They will not stay in that state. They will pass from death to life. And there is not a person sitting in here this morning. And there is not a person out there addicted to any sin, enslaved in any wickedness of their heart, whom Jesus cannot give new life. Do you hear His voice? Verse 26 says, for just as the Father has life in Himself, even so He gave to the Son also to have life in Himself. And He gave Him authority to execute judgment, because He is the Son of Man. And do not marvel at this. Don't marvel that Jesus can take someone who is spiritually dead and bring them alive. Don't marvel at this. You know why? Verse 28 says, for an hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs will hear His voice. Every single human being today in every cemetery in this city. The Bible says one day they're going to hear His voice. And verse 29 says, and they will come forth, those who did the good deeds to a resurrection of life, those who committed the evil deeds to a resurrection of judgment. Jesus has all authority like God. And there's going to come a day, Jesus said, when every person in the grave, their body is going to come out. With no exceptions. Those who, through the new life that Jesus gave them, produced righteousness. And those who remained in their sin and produced unrighteousness. And these will go to judgment, and these will go to eternal life. You see, true believers in Jesus live righteously. You know, if any of you today wanted to prove to the rest of us in this room that you were alive, you would not have to walk in this room today and say, Ted, now listen, I want to prove to you that I'm alive. And I say, well, I don't know if you're really alive, Chad. I really can't tell if you're alive or not. You say, well, yeah, Ted, I'm alive. Look, I mean, here's my birth certificate, see? I mean, I was born here. Here's my footprint. Here's my foot. I mean, I was... Well, I don't need Chad to bring me his birth certificate to know that he's alive. How do I know he's alive? He walked in. He's looking at me. He's breathing. He's talking. How does a person... How do we know that a person has been given new life by Jesus? They live a new life. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing." Well, the Bible says God's children are, it compares us to sheep. But inside, although they're wearing the clothes of a sheep, inside they're really a wolf. Jesus said, you want to know how you'll know who's a sheep and who's a wolf? You'll know them by their fruits. Good trees, he said grapes do not come from thorn bushes, or figs from thistles, do they? So then, a good tree bears good fruit, and a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree, Jesus said, that does not produce or bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you will know them by their fruits. And then Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Then Jesus said, many will say to me on that day of judgment, when they're standing there at the great white throne and they were a wolf. But they're going to say to Jesus, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? In your name, did we not cast out demons and perform many miracles? And the Bible says that Jesus will say to them, I never knew you. Depart from me. And then he says, here's how he describes them, you who practice lawlessness. You will know them by their fruits. You know, the Bible says, and some of us, when you hear that, by the way, as a Christian, if you're like me, you say, wow, Lord, I want to see your fruit of righteousness in my life. And I know that you've given me new life, Jesus. I have believed that you are the Savior and that you are God. But sometimes I still see in me remnants of some bad fruit. I still see the covetousness inside my heart, or the anger, or the bitterness, or the lust, whatever it may be. Jesus, why do I still see this here? Listen to what the Scripture says. For if we have become united with Him in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self, the self that was enslaved to unrighteousness, was crucified with Him, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died, is freed from sin. Now, he that died with Christ, we believe, also will certainly live with Him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. For death is no longer master over Him. Even so, consider your own bodies to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you serve its lusts. And do not go on presenting your body, the members of your body, to sin as instruments of unrighteousness. Present your members to God as those alive from the dead, and your instruments as members of righteousness to Him, the Bible says. The Bible says, now that you've been given new life, understand that when Jesus Christ died on the cross, you died with Him. And when Jesus died on the cross, your body of sin was done away, and when Jesus rose from the dead, you were raised with Him. Even so now, consider your body to be alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, He says to you, don't let sin reign in your body. Sin does not have to reign in your body because you died and rose again. And the Bible says, do not be conformed to this world. Don't live a life that's wrapped up in unrighteousness like the world, but be transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind, so that you will prove what the will of God is. And what is God's will? That which is good and acceptable and perfect. God's will is over here. And as your mind is renewed as a person who believes in Jesus, you will demonstrate that that is in fact God's will, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. So what does God call us to do? Those who have believed in Jesus as Savior and have received new life, but still our body of flesh is still here and can easily go back this way. God calls us to have our mind renewed all the time. Keep doing this. Keep renewing your mind. In other words, keep telling yourself and keep reading God's Word and understanding and telling one another what Jesus has done for you. That you died with Him and that you rose with Him. Keep on renewing your mind. And as you realize more and more what Jesus has done for you and come to not only realize it, but to rely on it, guess what? You're going to spend a lot more time producing good fruit. That's what's going to happen in your life. That will happen. Galatians chapter 5 says this, "But I say to you, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, and carousing, of which I forewarn you, just as I have warned you, that those who practice these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since you live by the Spirit, walk by the Spirit." The Spirit gave you life. Now follow Him. You know what Jesus is doing with Down City Church? He's taking a bunch of human beings who were in a state of death, in a state of judgment, enslaved to sin, and He's proving exactly what He says is true, that Jesus has all authority and all power and all honor. And you know where He's showing it? He's showing it in me, and He's showing it in you. "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes Him who sent me has eternal life." Verse 30 says, "I can do nothing on my own initiative. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of Him who sent me." In other words, Jesus' judgment is just because He judges according to God's will. Verse 31 says, and we're going to tell you what this verse says, we're going to pick up here next week. Verse 31 says, "If I alone testify about myself, my testimony is not true." And then He's going to give four witnesses to these three evidences that He is God. In other words, Jesus says, if it was only my word telling you this, but I'm going to produce four. Okay? And that's where I pick up next week. "Truly, truly, Jesus and the Father are one. Do you want evidence? He has the same power, He has the same authority, and He has the same honor. Do you want to see that? Look at all these people that He's redeeming. Truly, truly, the one who believes in Jesus as God and Savior has eternal life. And truly, truly, the dead will live by the power of His Word." And there's a bunch of people who live in this room. And there's many more to come. Let's pray. Jesus, we praise You for Your great power and authority and honor. And we thank You that we are the light of the world. That we are the ones through whom You are demonstrating Your power and authority and honor. And that truly, truly, the dead do live because we live. Lord, help us to walk by the Spirit this week and to not allow sin to reign in our mortal body so that we would obey it in its lust. Help us this week as your children to embrace the life that you've given to us, Lord. And may you produce in us love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Lord, thank you that you have transferred us from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of your beloved Son. Help our minds to be renewed so that we will be transformed from this world. And our lives will demonstrate that God's will, in fact, are the things that are good, the things that are acceptable, and the things that are perfect. Thank you for what you've done in our lives. We know that you're God. And we praise you, Lord. You are worthy to be praised. Thank you. Help us to become even greater worshipers of you. And help us to be able to communicate to our friends and people that are total strangers to us, Lord, that you are God and that you give life to the dead. Lord, help us to do it, Jesus. May your people just grasp and really understand and embrace and love and cherish who you are, Lord. May we so accurately reflect that this week, I pray. I pray for my dear, dear brothers and sisters, Lord. I love them. I thank you for bringing us in this body together. I thank you for what you're doing in your body here, Lord. I see you gelling this body. I see that you are giving your people a hunger and a thirst to see your power and glory, and a hunger and thirst to live in the righteousness that you've given to us. Lord, continue to build us. Add more and more here. May we grow and be such a powerful testimony to your reality in this city, Lord. May you demonstrate your reality through your church at Down City. Lord, we pray that there will not be a week goes by we don't see you add to your church. And not a day goes by we don't see you adding fruit in our lives. Jesus, hover over your church, we pray. Hover over our lives. Amen.